Today's passage is Isaiah chapter 12. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
First off, I want to thank Michael for filling in for me last week and bringing a message to you. I'm glad that he did and he was able to. Continue to think about what he shared with you because we all need to. I know we do. Today I want to talk to you about drawing water. I learned a lesson last weekend that I needed more water than I did draw. You see, as you're out hiking, you got to stop where you can find water. And then you filter that water so that you got enough water to drink. And we got up Monday morning and found out we'd had just enough water for breakfast, and that was it. That we hadn't filled up with as much as we should. We were like, well, it's okay, because we only got a mile and a half, and we're hiking out, and we're coming home. So that was okay. But I remember talking with Greg as we were riding back in the car, and he said, you know, he realized that he had enough water for the next morning. And then once he realized that, he said, you know what? I'm thirsty. So we learned a little bit of a lesson making sure that we had enough water. I want to share this with you because one of the things I find about people who are church members and live as Christians, they don't drink enough water. They don't drink enough water. Enough spiritual water. There's so many people that travel from week to week without drinking enough water. And the thing is that God supplies that water in wonderful and abundant ways. And we don't always take advantage of it. And there's a real need for making sure we get enough spiritual water. One of the years that I was in spiritual director school, I spent that whole year studying St. Teresa of Avila, and particularly her work called The Interior Castle. In The Interior Castle, she talks about in the early parts of our Christian life, once we find out where to get water, we do an awful lot of work to make sure that we get that water in the early parts of our Christian life. If we progress in our Christian life, then we find that some water wells up inside of us. And it's not something that we have to so demandingly work at all the time. But it continues to well up inside of us. And as I studied her work and as I've thought about different people throughout my ministry, not a lot of people find that well that just continues to well up inside of them. They continue to do things to work at, making sure that water gets into the midst of their lives and spiritual water. You see, the lesson from nature is that water is needed for continued life and growth. We know that this summer that we had some difficulties and didn't get enough rain as we wanted at times. And the past couple of years, people have told me, I guess you people that grew up in the mountains like to make this as an excuse every year, because Dan and I have found it so far almost every year. Well, we didn't get enough water this year, so the trees are not going to be as beautiful as they normally are in the fall. And for at least the past 2 years, I've heard that excuse. They're not going to be as beautiful as they normally are because we didn't get enough water this year. What is that about? Water not only helps the trees to grow, but it provides that those different colors also as the fall progresses. And we've seen a couple of summers now where we just did not get enough. And we know that those of you that claim not to have a green thumb and can't grow a plant inside for nothing, oftentimes do you realize it just has to do with you don't give it enough water? You don't give it enough water, and that water is so necessary for growth, and it's necessary for us also. Now, where the Bible has been written, drawing water in dry lands can take much effort and is often a continuous chore. Okay? Think about it when you think about what Jesus shares, what the prophets share, what Moses shares. There's often not enough water, it seems like. And living in those dry lands, it requires a continuous effort, and it can take much work. They would dig out big cisterns and plaster the inside of them so that when it rained, they could collect up all that water and have enough for families to live by. Took a lot of work. I've seen pictures of some of these cisterns, and they're incredibly big holes in the ground. And then building channels to make sure that the water gets there so that it's filled. At our last house, we had rain barrels that we used, that Deanne used to for all the flowers and the plants in the yard. And it's really amazing that we could fill up two 55-gallon drums with a half inch of rain. A half inch of rain coming off the roofs would fill up two 55-gallon drums. And you see the waters around us, we see it, but in order to collect it and get it together in a way that helps us is very difficult. To drink from the living waters of God is necessary for spiritual growth. To drink from the living waters of God is necessary for spiritual growth. You see, I have found so many people that they believe that once they, well, let me go back and I'll tell this story. First, when I first became a deacon at my home church, one of the things that they were trying to do is they were trying to, the church was only about 30 years old, and there were a great number of people that were on the roll of the church who hadn't been coming in the past 10 or 15 years. And it was not my joy as a new deacon, for we want you to call everybody in your deacon families and we want you to ask them if they still want to be a member of the church, or can we remove their name from the membership roll? And we had a membership roll of about 1,400 folks in my home church. That was not an enjoyable task. Because I found out that most of the people felt if their name was on the membership roll, there seemed to be some kind of idea that if their name was on the membership roll, they were going to heaven. And please don't remove my name. And I even had people, as I called them, saying, they would tell me, don't remove my name. I'm not coming back to the church ever again, but do not remove my name from the membership roll. And I was like, really? You just said both of those things in the same sentence. You see, and as I have found out as I've ministered over the years, that there's a great number of people that believe once you join a church, you've made it to heaven. I want to tell you a sad fact. Membership at a church does not get you into heaven. Membership at a church does not get you to heaven. When you join a church, you should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As a pastor, I do the best I can to try to make sure people have that belief. And we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But I really don't know people's hearts. I really don't know people's hearts. And along with that concept comes the concept that once I join a church, I've done everything that I need to do. I've done everything that I need to do. Once you join a church, that's the beginning point of your spiritual journey. I believe that you should join a church. But once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're starting down a spiritual path. And that path must be a path that you continue on. If you do not grow spiritually, it will be a hard time for you. Now, I'm willing to say once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to heaven. But there is an expectation from God that we continue to grow spiritually, that we continue to study our scriptures, that we continue to spend time in prayer, that we continue to share the faith with people who don't know about Jesus Christ, that we continue to fellowship with one another. And fellowship is talking about our spiritual journeys with one another. What has God taught you lately? If I were to have lunch with you tomorrow and I were to ask you, what has God taught you lately spiritually? What would you tell me? Have you heard God speak lately? Are you growing on this spiritual journey? Going from place to place and talking with folks, I have found out not everybody grows on the spiritual journey. They just kind of think, well, maybe it'll happen. I want you to think back to this idea of drawing water in a dry land. Drawing water in a dry land means you need to put effort into it. It means you need to do something to make sure you collect the water that you need. You need to make sure that it's there during the dry times. You've got to do something to make sure that it's always there. And if you've got a farm, you've got to make sure it's there for your livestock, not just your family. It requires so much. The spiritual journey is a journey that requires work. It's a journey that requires us going back to the wells of God over and over again. You see, most Christians struggle with how to drink spiritually living waters surrounded by a dry environment. Is the culture of our country, the culture of our country does not promote us growing spiritually. Would you agree with me? The culture of our country does not encourage us to grow spiritually. It is a very dry environment. And unless we become very conscious about looking for God in the midst of the environment and the community that we live in, unless we become very, I lost that word. When you find it, hand it back to me, please. Unless we become very persistent in saying that we're going to grow spiritually, we will wither up and die spiritually. You see, because the environment we live in, I was having a conversation over here this morning before worship service. The environment that we live in is not conducive to us growing spiritually, is it? It's conducive to walking all kinds of other directions. People caring about their own selves and their own thing. People not being professional about the way they live. And people not caring about their spiritual growth. I have found lots of Christians that don't know how to grow spiritually. They think coming to church once a week will do it. They think coming to Sunday school once a week will do it. They think coming to Bible study on Wednesday nights will do it. Unless you apply some kind of effort to it, it doesn't do anything for you. I know some of you might say, yes, it does. But I want to ask you, do you go home after the worship service and spend some time reflecting on what God has said to you during the worship service? Do you take some time after Wednesday night Bible study just sitting down and saying, what did I hear God say? And what is God asking me to do? What is the next step that God wants me to make on my spiritual journey? You see, drinking from the living waters was something that confused the Samaritan woman. I would encourage you sometime to go and read John chapter 4. Middle of the hot day, Jesus sitting by the well in Samaria. The disciples have gone off to town to get food. And a woman that has been shunned by the whole town comes to get water. Why does she come at noon in the heat of the day? Because she doesn't want to listen to what the other people have to say about her. And Jesus very simply asked her, hey, can you give me some water? By his dialect, by his accent, she knew that he was Jewish, not Samaritan. And she said, who are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, to get water? She was saying, don't you know our two people hate each other? And you're asking me of water? And he just very simply looks at her and says, if you knew who I was, you'd know I could give you living water. You know what she hears? Same Greek word. She hears moving water. He says living, but she hears moving. And she says, you don't even have a bucket or a ladle or a cup to get water with. How are you going to do that? She doesn't understand what he's talking about. She's very confused. It leads them through a much longer conversation. But here's what I want you to know. In the midst of that conversation that doesn't last much more than 15 minutes, she drinks living water. And you know what this woman does that was shunned by the whole town, and she made sure she kept her distance from them because she didn't want to hear the rumors and the talk that they had to say about her? You know what this woman did after 15 minutes of talking with Jesus and drinking living water? She ran back to the town and convinced the whole town that she had just saw the Messiah and that they need to come see him. The woman that was shunned by the whole town was able, after drinking living water, to go and get the whole town to come back to Jesus. Folks, are we drinking living water? I would say if we're drinking living water, some dynamic things would be happening, because look at what happened to that lady when she drank living water. You see, it requires hard work and perseverance to maintain a lifestyle which is always seeking for water. It requires hard work and perseverance. to maintain a lifestyle. It's not just a one-moment choice, and I came down and I accepted Jesus Christ in the church, and then they baptized me by immersion in water, and so therefore I know I'm going to heaven, and that's all I got to do. Folks, there's a lot more to the spiritual life. There's a lot more to the spiritual life. That's why I so enjoyed studying St. Teresa of Avila, a 16th century Carmelite nun. The depths of her works are incredible about walking and continuing on that spiritual journey, continuing to grow and finding that water that wells up, that water that constantly is there. It requires a lifestyle, though, that says, I'm going to do everything I can to get to know more about God. I'm going to turn off my TV because I need to know more about the Lord who saved me. I'm going to make moments where I can sit by myself. It requires hard work and perseverance. Where I can sit by myself just with some words of Scripture and let them soak deep within me. Did you hear what Michael read when in the midst of chapter 12 here? It says, first off, God was angry with me. But God, your anger has turned away from me, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. If God is your salvation, wouldn't you want to spend more time with the God who's done so much to save you? But it's verse 3 that really captured my attention all week as I looked at this. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation. If we draw those living waters and allow them to come into the midst of us, what do you think happens with that joy when we walk out in the midst of this dry environment that we live in? It becomes contagious. I know some of you are worried about contagious things already. I heard some talk about that this morning. If you haven't gotten your flu shot, I would encourage you to go get your flu shot. My wife reminded me I got mine on Friday. My arm is fine. Everything's okay. I didn't get the flu from it. Folks, are you drinking from the living waters? Because if you're drinking from the living waters of the well of salvation, the joy is going to well up in you in such an amount that it's going to spill over everywhere you go. And the people around you, even if they live in this dry environment, are going to be stepping in puddles of joy. Are you doing the hard work that's necessary to make sure that your lifestyle is one that continues to drink from the living waters of God? Are you? You see, the spiritual journey is a tough thing. It should be a continually growing thing. I meet people that have been in church for 30, 40, 50 years and don't know how to find the simplest of scriptures. I meet people that have been in the church for 30, 40, and 50 years that don't know how to sit down and pray. I've met people that don't know how to sit in God's presence and allow the love and the comfort and the peace and the grace and the mercy of God to just soak deep within you. How about you? Have you continued down the spiritual path since you took the first step? Are you drinking from the living waters? Are you letting other people know that live in a dry environment where they can find living waters? Are you willing to do the hard work that it means to change a lifestyle to make it more like Jesus Christ? It's not easy. It's a struggle. I'll admit that. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm hoping you'll take some time today to really think deeply about this question I want to leave with you. Will you find a way to continually draw water from the wells of salvation? Will you find a way? Will you make more of an effort than you have ever made before? Will you? Let's pray. Lord, it is tough in the midst of this world, especially now in the country that we live in that seeks to find ways to be more and more and more divided. In a country that seeks to find ways to become more and more of a dry environment instead of one that lives in the deep wells of salvation. Lord, help us to drink deeply. Help us to drink deeply so that as we go out into the midst of this world, the joy of knowing salvation, the joy of knowing you, the joy of knowing that we can continue on the spiritual path will overflow us, will flow out of us and into the midst of this dry environment that we live in. Lord, please show us the value of working hard on this spiritual journey that you've set us on. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.